Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls live in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But first, a tragic story from our local newspaper about a he in process of transitioning to a she. The breast implants had worked out quite well, according to the article, but the silicone buttocks augmentation ended up killing the he transitioning to a she. As the article points out, the work was performed by a he who had transitioned to a she, but was not licensed to do posterior silicone implants. And thus, the he transitioning to a she at the time of death was was violated in many different ways. I don't know how else to put it. This tragic individual had been convicted of soliciting for prostitution, soliciting for an unnamed crime against nature, and for larceny. But again, now is dead. And all such transgendering continues to be glorified in the media. And now even on the big screen. I was just now reading a headline that screamed, here's the headline, Power Rangers break ground with first queer big screen superhero. And the article went on to say that this was something new on the big screen, with superheroes at least, and had been standard fare in comic books. Meanwhile, I was also reading about a sexual neuroscientist by the name of Deborah So, who was very, very sympathetic to much of the LGBTQI protocol, but was nonetheless speaking out, saying that the idea that male and female brains are identical might sound quite lovely, but science says otherwise. None of this has stopped the madness. Yesterday I read about a he with low T dominating an international female weightlifting competition. The he with low T competing as a she made history as the first transgendered athlete to represent the country of New Zealand. And all of this is being communicated in the news pieces to which I refer as, well, sort of enlightened. Unless you are what Time Magazine, and I talked about this on yesterday's broadcast, unless you are what Time Magazine describes as a troll. The question that haunts me is, will the church remain largely silent in the midst of this cultural upheaval? And all of us are part of the body of Christ, and we all have to answer that question. And so what am I suggesting that people do? Well, be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. This is a huge issue. When you think about Time Magazine making this a cover story and spending page after page after page on this issue, we need to know what's going on, and we need to be able to speak out with clarity, with substance. Well, we'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember that you can contact us in various ways on the web at equip.org, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I should say 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants who are standing by at 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Let's go to the phone calls. Talk to Joseph, who is listening in Bakersfield, California, on KERI. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Hank. I've been trying to get this in for a couple days now. My question is, during a Christmas play, my senior pastor, he was playing the role of Joseph, the adoptive father, Jesus. He said that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was only 13 or 14 years old at the time she was engaged and when she gave birth to Jesus. And I just wanted to get your take on that and about the ethics of that whole thing with her being 14 or 13 or whatever.
Well, I can tell you in terms of the ethics that God chose Mary in the fullness of time, and God does not make mistakes. However, we do not know on the basis of the biblical record how old Mary was. Mary may have been quite young, but there's no definitive information that she was 13 or 14 years old. What we do know, however, is if you go to the religion of Islam, we know definitively that Muhammad married Aisha when she was 6 years old and consummated the marriage when she was nine. A far different proposition, obviously, at that age. But we don't have any information with respect to Mary. Now, Mary did not become pregnant in the way that is natural to humanity. This was a supernatural act of God. So no intercourse was involved. So in terms of the ethics, even if this were true and you could establish it, which I don't think you could, but even if this were true, it would not involve sexual procreation.
All right. Thank you, Hank.
You got it.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. I want to mention a couple of things that you can join CRI's monthly support team by simply going to the web at equip.org. You can also call us at 888-7000 in the letters CRI, or you can write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This is a very significant support team. This is really the foundation in terms of giving to this ministry, people who support the ministry, who pray for this ministry on an ongoing basis. And I was just personalizing a couple of books. One was Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. The other, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Editions, to people who joined CRI's monthly support team. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Also available for those who support the ministry all this month, The Week That Changed the World. It features Paul Meyer, my dear friend who co-authored The Da Vinci Code Factor Fiction with me. You can find that resource on the web as well. The Week That Changed the World is not a week, but the week. Remember the significance of that. Of all the weeks in human history, this was the week. Therefore, this is a resource that I want to put in your hands, again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. We have other resources available, as I mentioned, The Da Vinci Code Factor Fiction, and The Third Day, The Reality of the Resurrection Communicated There in a Memorable Format. All these resources available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Christina in Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
Your question.
Okay, my question is, do you see a concern for the rising number of females taking on roles in leadership in the church, and that affecting both our response in the church and also our just perhaps our spiritual ability to stand where we need to with the Lord on the issues of gender identity and perversion in general.
Well, I don't know how the two are correlated in any way. I think that if a woman is gifted with leadership abilities and with teaching abilities, and she doesn't use those abilities within the context of the church, she would be in sin. We're called to use our gifting. Priscilla, therefore, used her gifting as a Bible teacher. Miriam was a minister, if you will, of music. Women were the first to testify to the central event in the Christian faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, the person we most seek to emulate is a woman. We're just talking about Mary. Mary is the one most filled with Christ. And this is what all of us are seeking to do. It is to be filled with Jesus so that we can do what we do, not by might or by power, but by His Spirit, but also so that we can experience the living resurrected Christ, so that Christ might become more real to us than the very flesh upon our bones. So I think that the two issues that you delineated are two very, very different issues. Now, obviously, there is an ecclesiology in the church and in church tradition of men only being presbyters, for example, and that is something that is passed on. The church has never tried to be innovative, but rather perpetuating that which came before. So ecclesiology in the early church did virtually the same thing that the Israelites did with their leaders. They were males, and so again, that's being perpetuated in the church, but this has nothing whatsoever to do with whether a woman is to exercise her gift within the body of Christ. If she has a gift and she does not exercise it, again, she would be in a very, very serious sin.
Okay. I've never done this before, so I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say anything back
Yeah, I mean, this is about having a conversation. And
okay.
By the way, just because I said what I said does not mean that you cannot counter and that I cannot learn from what you say.
Well, what my experience is that you are correct that if women do not answer the call that they are gifted in and within the order that's repeated throughout the word, they are in sin. That is my conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, my conviction is that if women are in a role of authority of preaching the gospel, ministering the gospel, other than a delivery of the message of the gospel, where they have an authority role over men who are of age, that it creates it is not within the order, and it's under the sin of Eve being first seduced and the warning of Paul saying, I do not want women to have that place in the church. Those roles are reserved for the men only, and there was a specific reason why. And it was about the original seduction and deception, basically, that took place in the garden. And that's in, I believe, 1 Timothy.
As yes.
As well as Ephesians. It's in one of the Peters, it's in two places.
Yes, but again, the Apostle Paul teaches women how to pray and prophesy within the context of the body of Christ. And I think in terms of deception, by alluding to Eve's deception in the garden, Paul underscored how crucial it is that women like men involve themselves in learning. So I think far from chastising Eve for her role in the fall, what Paul is chastising is the Jewish men of his day for excluding women from learning and thus leaving them vulnerable to deception. I think that, again, a man should not teach unless a man has learned. James makes this very clear. With teaching, there is a stricter judgment. The same thing is true with a woman. And I think that there is a cultural context here that has to be taken into consideration. In this particular culture, and by the way, Jesus was a cultural revolutionary. He was a countercultural revolutionary. He upended the culture. He took women and made them part of his inner circle. But in the culture itself, women were considered to be on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. Their testimonies were not even considered acceptable in a court of law. How much less would they be considered acceptable in the church if they had not learned? And what's happening biblically is Jesus and the disciples are saying, no, this is wrong. Again, as I mentioned earlier, if a woman has a gift, she needs to exercise that within the context of the church. Now, I can't get into the debate on how old you have to be before you can learn from a woman, but I can tell you from personal experience, I've learned a great deal from women over the course of my ministry. I appreciate the conversation, Christina. Unfortunately, up against a hard break. We'll be right back.
The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created Memorable Keys to Understanding What God Has Said, lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God Has Spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI or you can order online at equip.org. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks so much, Randy. If you have not taken the time to do this already, take a moment to download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live on your smartphone. You can listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can also use the app to conveniently support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Again, just go to equip.org/app. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jesse, listening in Compton, California. Hi, Jesse.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, my question. Hello. It's an honor to finally. I've been listening to your program for recently now, Mr. Pastor Hanegraaff. My question would be: is it possible for a believer in Jesus Christ to be demon possessed?
I don't think so. I think Christ precluded this possibility. When he used the illustration of a house, remember him asking, how could anyone enter a strong man's house and then carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? I think in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil. But in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. And therefore, the force of the argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, namely God himself. So if you are walking in the faith, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wrote a book about this called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, and the upshot of the book is that if you put on the full armor of God, as we're instructed to do, then we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties.
Well, thank you for that. I was asking because I recently talked to a person from a Pentecostal church where I have a family member that goes, it's a Spanish-speaking church, and they tend to have services where they make predictions and they prophesize and supposedly they exorcise people from demons and all this. But I told the person that if a person is in Christ, and if Christ is in that person, it would be impossible for that person to be demon possessed.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
I was pretty sure of that, and I just wanted to ask that just to reaffirm that.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, the other part of it that you alluded to here is that God does not allow us to know what the future holds. Now, it is true that in the Bible, there were prophecies that were fulfilled. And what that did is demonstrate that the person who prophesied was a true prophet of God, particularly if Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18 were both adhered to. However, it is not normative for people to be able to tell the future. God, in his loving kindness, withholds the future from us. If we knew what was going to happen in the future, we wouldn't want to face the future. As Christians, what we are so blessed by is that God gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. So we face the future because we are empowered by the grace of God to be able to face the future as the present rolls into the future. But God certainly does not blaze a flood down light down the path of our life.
Well, thank you for that, Pastor Hanegram. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Johnny next. Listening in Jackson, New Hampshire, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Hank. I'm so happy to speak with you. I've been listening to for about 20 years, and I just love in your gentleness in reaching out to believers and unbelievers with the word. And that's why I'm calling. A few months ago, I heard you speak to a transgender, sounded like a man, but said he was a mother. And you prayed, your voice got so compassionate, even on the radio, you could hear it, and you prayed for him so beautifully, and I was so deeply moved. And so I'm partly thanking you for that, and I want to reach out. Have you seen the movie, The Trans List?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, I was in a hotel, I saw that come on, and I thought, well, why don't I learn about transgender stuff? And it's a beautiful portrait of maybe 8 or so transgender men and women, or however you say that. And I realized they think they're born in one body and they have this other being in them. And then I realized I'm born a liar. I'm born a blasphemer. I'm born a, you name it. And that's not what I say. I try to change to fit what God's word says I should be. So I'm thinking that might be like believers, when you approach the transgender issue, either are totally cold or totally hot about it. And I think that's, so I'm thinking that's a good approach, like we're all born sinners, but that doesn't mean we accept the sin that we're inclined to do. How does that sound? Is that loving yet biblical?
Yeah, absolutely.
I call the master of biblical love.
Well, I tell you, I couldn't say it any better than you just said it. And one of the books that I really have appreciated over the years is called Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issue with Kindness and Clarity. It's written by my good friend Joe Dallas. But look, what you said is exactly on point. It can't be said any better than that. If I have certain proclivities that are proclivities in a wrong direction that dishonor God or dishonor other people, I can't say, well, I have those proclivities and therefore I'm going to act on them because they're my proclivities. No, you have to act against those proclivities because they're disruptive, not only personally to other people, but also to civilization in general. That there is no consensus on the causes for same-sex attraction. And likely it's going to turn out that a constellation of influences are involved. Could be genetic characteristics that make a person more susceptible to this later in life, given certain environmental circumstances. It could be the perpetuation of a narrative heard over and over and over again that impacts people that are young. And many unhealthy tendencies are most certainly inborn, but they're not normal. They're not approved of God. And we can talk about alcohol addiction, many other things, anger problems, depression, all of these things. But we have to try to remedy these as opposed to saying, well, these things are normative and these things are good. And so I don't know what to add to what you said. You said it perfectly well.
Okay, so do you think that's a good way to help believers stand up for what the Word of God says while still feeling compassionate and reaching out to, well, any sinner, really.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And recognizing that we ourselves are sinners. And so this is not as though we're better than anyone else, but we want to help those people by giving them constructive rather than destructive information. I've often said that if I was a cancer specialist and I had a good friend who had cancer, and I gave that person just a warm, fuzzy answer and didn't tell them the truth, I wouldn't be demonstrating my love for that person. So we have to speak the truth with kindness and clarity.
Great, like beggars telling other beggars where to find food.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well said. Looks like you have the compassion, but also the information. And I think that's what we're called to have. We need to understand the circumstances. We can't shun the circumstances. We can't hide our heads under a pillow or a blanket and think, well, all of this is going to go away. No, it's not. It's going to have a devastating impact on civilization. And therefore, if the church is not a leavening force within the culture will continue to devolve. And as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Men broadcast, the reason that the culture devolves is not because pagans are pagans. No, it is because Christians are not being the salt and light that they have been called to be. You would think that if you put a pound of salt in a quart of water, that water would be pretty salty. But of course, Jesus said the salt has lost its savor. And how, therefore, will it be good for anything other than just to be trampled by men?
Thank you so much. I hope this has helped people listening to your program, that we can stand firmly yet compassionately in with this issue and any other, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate your kindness and your clarity. So thank you so much, Jenny, for giving us a call right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So many ways to get answers to your questions. One is to subscribe to my free daily e-truth. In this daily email, I send you clear, concise answers to the most common as well as the most difficult questions that I've been asked as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And I've been doing this for almost 30 years. Hard to believe. And I'll deliver them right to your inbox. These are questions dealing with Christianity, with modern culture, the world of the cults, the occult, world religions, worldviews, biblical interpretation, much, much more. Answered every day directly to your inbox. I should say every weekday at least. Sometimes I'll give you a short video. I'm going to be doing a whole lot more of that in the future, most often in the form of a written text. But for your free daily e-truth, go to equip.org and sign up right there on the equip.org homepage. I also want to mention that I am going to stay in studio for an extra hour today. Once we go off the air, there are so many people calling in from all over the planet, so I'm going to stay here for an extra hour today. Once we go off the air, continue taking calls. So if I do not get you in the next segment, I will try to get you in the next hour. And then I want to mention the quote of the day. The quote of the day is absolutely fantastic. It comes from Joe Dallas and really is on point with what Johnny was talking about, as well as what I talked about in the opening monologue today. So the quote of the day will come from Joe Dallas as a response to the statement that homosexuality is inborn, and deals with the whole issue of transgenderism in general. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, do remember, all the information that I've been talking about you can find on the web, equip.org. That is the go-to destination. Again, equip.org. We'll be right back.
With an unmatched mastery of Scripture and history, Professor Paul Meyer discusses and defends the historicity of the events of Holy Week, which culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out.
Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment.
To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.
Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Did you know that without the bodily resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity and no hope? As the Apostle Paul wrote, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. But history and archaeology attest to the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. Don't miss historian Paul Meyer's documentary, The Week That Changed the World. This DVD will give you hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go back to your calls in just a moment, but first, the quote of the day. It's by Joe Dallas. Listen carefully. Joe says, the impossibility of truly becoming the opposite sex seems obvious, but so does the desperation a person must feel to make such an attempt. Surely, castration, implants, and hormones still leave a man unable to ovulate. Penile implants and breast reduction likewise don't delete a woman's womanhood. Chromosomes stubbornly remain unchanged, immune to surgical intervention. Knowing all this and more, thousands still attempt reassignment, believing that they were born not for the body they inhabit, but for the one they're trying to create. At one time, such a belief held little sway, the testimony of the body overriding the mind. But as we move further from the influences of Scripture and the Judeo-Christian tradition, embracing a more subjective grid for decision-making, feelings often trump facts. Traditionally, if a man felt like a woman, yet inhabited a male body, his feelings, not his body, were viewed as the problem. They were considered something to be resisted, modified, if possible, and contrary to what was. Currently, what one is being determined by what one feels. An ominous tread. An ominous trend when one considers the implications. It is, in essence, an attempt to define reality by desire, knowledge by intuition. I know I'm a man because I feel like one. An incredible quote by Joe Dallas. I've said many times on the broadcast, I think that very few people, if any, on the planet know more about this subject than Joe. Joe lived within the LGBTQI community for, well, many years, and he understands the issues from the inside out. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carolyn. She's listening in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm a nurse, and I work in the area of palliative care here in Canada. And as I'm sure you're already aware, the Canadian government legalized euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide in Canada this past June. And of course, that's raised many issues for those of us who are especially working with people at the end of life and are believers. And I've had many conversations over the last number of months with other believers who I found to be somewhat sympathetic to in their last days, and I've been a bit shocked and surprised by
we're having some problems, Carolyn, in terms of the connection, but I know you're asking about euthanasia. Sorry about the connection. Sounds like you're driving somewhere and the communication got cut off. But as I've written, in Christian theology, the timing and terms of death are the province of God alone, and therefore a doctor is never permitted to usurp the prerogative of divinity. Hastening death based on subjective judgments concerning one's quality of life is a very direct violation of Scripture. So here's the deal. Passive euthanasia is morally permissible. Why? Because it allows the process of dying to run a natural course. But active euthanasia is morally prohibited because it directly involves the taking of human life. And from a biblical perspective, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And like suffering for our faith, physical suffering has redemptive value. I always love to think back to my dad. He was going through an agonizing death, and yet he felt that every moment was valuable. And so it was, remembering in particular the fact that on his deathbed, before he took his last breath, he had the ability to bless every one of his children, every one of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And they went home to be with the Lord. So even in his final moments, what he had told me prior came to fruition, and that is every moment that God gives me in this life is valuable. And I think oftentimes what we do is we think that we can become the arbiters of what is, well, a worthwhile life and what is not. And when that happens, particularly when it happens by the imprimatur of the state, we get into very, very difficult and, in fact, decidedly disturbing circumstances. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Doing good. Good, good. I am an Army officer, and there's a new transgender policy that just came out this past weekend, and it's coming all over the nation. And basically, if a man wants to transition to a woman or vice versa, the Army taxpayers' dollars will pay for that, and then we have to recognize them as their, whatever it says in their DEER system. And so therefore, they get to say if a male says he's a female and he gets to take a shower in the female latrine, it goes female latrine, and the urine analysis test, the females have to watch him take that test, even if he didn't do the hormone surgery, if he still has male parts, he still has to have the females watch him because he identifies as a woman. So with this policy, in my opinion, crazy as it is, I am trying to know what to do as a Christian. What do I stay in the military, you know, and try to be salt like Jesus commands us to do? And then I guess the second question is, how do I talk to these young men or women that are being encouraged to do this? I don't know what to do.
Well, it's difficult. There's no question about it. I mean, we're going to have loose ends popping out all over the place as a result of a madness in terms of policy, which is now being mandated. And you're pointing this out within the armed forces. So should you stay? First of all, the answer, yes. I don't think the answer is to withdraw from aspects of civilization that have become tainted in ways that are very, very disturbing, but rather to work redemptively within those circumstances, being a witness for Jesus Christ. When we do that, we can hope for something wonderful to take place. Now, that's not being Pollyannish. I think about what happened in the first century when the disciples saw Christ rise from the dead. As a result of his resurrection, they no longer feared the culture but became transformational agents within the culture, and that's precisely what you are called to do. But yes, are there going to be very awkward moments? Of course. What you're talking about here is not mythology. I mean, you're seeing it played out. And this is going to be played out all over the country, indeed all over the world, as men take showers with women, because though they are biologically males, they say that they are females, and vice versa. So again, there are going to be all kinds of very difficult and disturbing moments, but we must be a leavening force within that context. Not try to withdraw from it, but be transformational agents within it.
Very good. Thank you. I agree with you 100%. And then, you know, the second part of that question is, you know, they come to the commander and ask. When they come to me and ask, the Army is going to tell me that I have no choice. I have to give them a health care provider. But my faith, I am going to witness to them regardless of the outcome. With that said, do you have any kind of words or encouragement of how I would say this, you know, being loving but standing in truth, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be loving, you have to stand in truth, and you have to be willing to pay the consequences. And this is going to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity, whether it's what I say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast or what you do within the context of your command. There are going to be consequences to our actions. And now the question is the same question that the apostles asked in the book of Acts. Are we to obey men, or are we to obey God? I mean, what we're talking about is plain old common sense. And I would think at some point, people are going to see that what I described as loose ends popping out all over the place, they're going to see that these create such conundrums, such chaos, that we finally cannot handle it anymore. I mean, I think about a parallel. So many people are all up in arms about the fact that there are countries that are concerned about migration without assimilation. Well, that was considered to be a horrendous, uncivilized position to take. And yet now, because of the consequences to countries, all of a sudden, they're doing a second look at what they once considered progressive and enlightened, and recognizing that this is not progressive nor enlightened, but rather a prescription for chaos within the culture. Got to leave it at that. Our prayers go with you, and I don't say that in a trite fashion. Whenever someone like you calls up, people have empathy for what you are, your service to the country, to the world, the difficult position that you've been placed in, and people will be praying. I can guarantee you that, John. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. I will continue taking your call. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to go off the air. There'll be silence for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I'll start taking your calls. I'll record my answers to your questions, and we'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. So right now you can start calling 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can dial that number, 888-ASK-HANK. For the next hour, I'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, I'll try to get to you as well, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. We're asking for people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. So please stand shoulder to shoulder with us. It'll make a difference, not just for time, but for the eons, for the everlasting nature of eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said.
The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights Flip Chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Or you can order online at equip.org.